You found the Diggin' Oak Island podcast, podcaster's journey to discover the truth behind the Oak Island mystery. I'm Dave McBride. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. If you've been listening to the podcast and if you've been enjoying it, then I would ask that you please help out the show by leaving us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, I invite you to join the show on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow us at Diggin' Oak Island. As promised, I'm going to dedicate this entire episode, this entire podcast, to your comments and your opinions. This is your chance, the viewers of The Curse of Oak Island, to put on public record what you think of the team, of the search, of the television show, of the producers, all that kind of stuff. It was a catch-all call for all of you to give us any kind of questions or comments you wanted to give us on The Curse of Oak Island, season 7 of The Curse of Oak Island, the treasure hunt on Oak Island, all that kind of stuff. So that's what we have today. I've got quite a few to get through. I read most of these, did not script out answers, so I am kind of doing this a little bit on the fly just because I felt that was kind of more of the organic way to do it, to give you my opinion right off the top of my head here. I just think that makes a little bit more sense and it's a little more fun. So we actually have two questions that are kind of the same here. So let me read first. Sam on Facebook writes, concerning the show, I'm a bit perturbed that during the entire season of previews and ads, we see a very large, and in parentheses, undetermined piece of what looks like machinery being hauled to the surface of a very large hole. However, none of this was shown on the show. Any ideas of what happened, or did I miss something? And then also Mitch, he sends us a similar question via email. Mitch writes, first of all, I just wanted to say I love your podcast, and I'm an avid listener, viewer of the show. So thanks for your great work and realistic take on everything. I have been trying to get information about something that was teased at the beginning of the season and teased several times during the episodes when they were excavating the flood tunnel. It was the shot they showed briefly of something being lifted out of a hole, and the same one you took a screenshot of on your Facebook page. Again, go to our Facebook page, at Diggin' Oak Island, you'll see it there. Do you know if the show followed up at all on what that was? If it was shown on one of the episodes, I must have missed it. Anyway, if you know anything about what that was or why it was never shown, I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks again, Mitch in Maryland. Okay. So I did put out a call for help on this, and I posted photos of it so everybody can tell me. I don't remember ever seeing it either, and it is the one thing that I was looking forward to seeing from all the way back in the previews. As far as I can tell, and as far as I know, it has never been shown on air. I have no idea why. Now, detractors, you know, like to say that the team is hiding big stuff, you know. There's a lot of people and very, you know, good people with really good opinions and learned Oak Island opinions who really do believe that the team has found big findings, big discoveries over the years and have not shown that to us for one reason or another, maybe to prolong the show and to have something to end off with if they need to and that kind of stuff, you know, for the last season, so to speak. I'm not so sure that's it. My best guess is that the reason why we didn't see it is because it really wasn't anything but a good shot, if you know what I mean. Somebody went down there or sent a GoPro down there and they took this beautiful picture of something coming out, and it was probably nothing more than maybe a camera or something that amounted to nothing. And they, you know, the shot of them pulling it back out is looked really good. So the, you got to remember, editors, producers, directors, these guys sometimes are not documentarians. They're visual artists and they see a great shot and they want to show it, whether it's, you know, cool or not, so to speak. I mean, honestly, from a fan perspective, I really think this whole piece, this shot, is dirty pool to me. I mean, I just don't like it. I don't like them showing something so intriguing, so compelling, and then just leaving it there. And if the answer is, well, it was a really nice shot and we want to put it in, well, that's a stupid answer. I mean, there's no other way to put it. That's a bad answer. So I hope that's not it. But considering the choices, that might not be such a bad choice. It looked like the uplands to me, but who knows? For all I know, whatever hole they're digging here, we may not have seen any of that at all. Who knows? You know, let me say this. like I said, people think that they are, and very learned people think that they are holding out on stuff. There is no evidence of that that I can find. The evidence produced by these people who I respect and who I really like is circumstantial in my mind at best, and they're extrapolating from things like tweets and comments on Facebook pages and things like that from people involved with the show and people involved with the Dig team. It's compelling. Maybe they are doing this. I don't know. But that's where I am on it. I don't know. What I do know is that when they show you something like this, and they show it as many times as they did, it wasn't just in the trailer. As Mitch said, it was teased in a lot of other shots as well, and a lot of other previews for upcoming shows and that kind of stuff. And then they don't produce it. That's just terrible television making, in my opinion. That's just terrible documentary work, in my opinion. And kind of tells you, and we'll probably discuss this more, about how creating a documentary of what's going on here in Oak Island just may not be the priority of Prometheus and of the History Channel. Anyway, so let's move on to another email. Okay, we got one from Duncan who writes, I felt this season's final show had a lot of talking, but offered nothing new or insightful. I love the show, but wish there could be more shown around the decision-making process. We rarely hear about what options were discussed and why those ideas were discarded. Things seem to happen in a vacuum, and I can't believe that's what really happens. Well, thanks, Duncan, for the email. I couldn't agree more. That does seem to be the nature of reality shows to some degree. You know, producers, like I was saying, producers opt for the idea of a good narrative, a good story arc, you know, rather than information, which is what we want, which is what we, the Oak Island fanatics, want. We want information. But a lot of people watching this show don't. They want a story arc. They want something fun and something cool to watch. It's something we'll always deal with. This is just going to be part of this process of watching this show be the primary conduit of how we learn about the Oak Island mystery and treasure hunt from this point forward. Prometheus is very, very, very good at visuals. They really are. They shoot a beautiful show, and they do incredible work with that kind of stuff. But as a documentarian, not so much. They don't seem to be all that interested in relaying info and setting out a historical record of what's going on here and what's being found. That seems to be secondary. That seems to be the cool reason why they're there, but they're trying to make a great visual and narrative show and trying to create their own version of, you know, Deadliest Catch or something like that, where we can follow the arc of people's lives and that kind of stuff rather than just learn what's going on in Oak Island. Does that make sense? Again, it's something a long time ago I've managed to live with and not worry about too much, but I totally understand people who don't. Jeff on Twitter, he writes, a couple of things I'm interested in. There was an episode a couple seasons back where they found a place they wanted to dig, but I realized it was on Fred Nolan's property. It was the reason they approached him and made amends, but then they never returned to the place to dig. Also, there was an episode where Rick went to a castle in France, I believe, or where they showed him the entrance to an amazing tunnel that went out from the castle and was in the shape of a cross. Could Nolan's cross be an above-ground marker for a similar tunnel? Maybe the money pit is actually an ancient elevator, if you will, to the doorway for the Nolan's cross tunnel. The treasure would be at the end of the tunnel, away from the flooding booby traps that would ruin it. Or maybe the doorway is in the swamp. Short time later, more came to Jeff's mind, apparently, and he wrote us another tweet. This one writes, also, there was an episode a while back where they found these stone markers offshore that appeared to line up and point to the money pit. Everyone was like, isn't that interesting? But then they never tried to actually use it to pinpoint the money pit. What's up with that? Then he writes, also, what's the deal with the four circles in the ice in Mahone Bay to the south? And why aren't those being looked at as potential source of the flood tunnels? It's really confusing why they seem to have these discoveries and they just seem to forget about them. Jeff, I assume the circles you're talking about are the ones that Dan Blankenship found. There were a few times during Dan's time on the island, the 70s or the 80s, I'm not 100% sure, I think the 80s, where Mahone Bay completely froze over and there were these four weird circles in the ice where it did not freeze over. Just thawed right there in these four circles in the ice. It was very strange. Some great pictures that Dan took of them. And no one's gotten to the bottom of that. Don't know. Okay, so let's go through some of these. I'm not so sure about that first one you write there about the dig site of Nolan's property. My memory is telling me that it was part of the swamp, maybe the eye of the swamp, the top of the swamp. So maybe they did dig there. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. I don't remember. I think I know what you're talking about. If it's not the swamp, I think there was this one other spot where they were trying to get an excavator into or what have you. I don't remember. Here's what I say about these things. They probably did it, and they probably found nothing. And that's just not very compelling, especially if they literally find nothing, just digging a hole in the ground, you know, or with no real idea of what they're looking at. Anyway, I don't recall that one as much. If anybody has any information on that, please remind me. I just can't remember. The idea of a doorway to the treasure, you know, or an ancient elevator, as you say, is a logical one, and it's if there's something there, let's think about it this way. If somebody put something here underground in Oak Island, do we really think that the way to get at it when they wanted to recover it or if they wanted to recover it was to dig a 100-plus foot hole in the ground in order to bring it back up? I mean, that just doesn't seem logical to me. It just doesn't seem to make much sense. I mean, it seems secure for sure. But it doesn't seem like a good way to retrieve something. And if it is something incredibly valuable, you would want to retrieve it. I mean, you would think that at least that possibility is there. So I do think there's a back door. Randall Sullivan, the author of the Curse of Oak Island book, he does really believe in sort of an entrance tunnel, a door to the vault. And I think he believes that it's now covered by what is, you know, the result of rising sea level someplace offshore that you can get into that probably was, maybe accessible at low tide back in the day and is now not accessible at all. As far as those holes in the ocean, one of the things that I remember was COGS, one of the offshore learning facilities, I think it's part of the local community college, did some sonar scanning on the floor, some scanning of some kind on the floor of the bay there. And yeah, they came up with hits, anomalies, you know, something that they said they wanted to look into. This goes back a couple of years. You know, it was really compelling stuff. I mean, I remember somebody even saying something like it looked like a vent, but nobody, that's it. They couldn't look any further. I don't know why. Now, permitting issues may have stopped them from actually getting a real close look at, you know, like going down there and moving things around. But could they not just send a diver down or a camera or something to show us what that was? Do you remember that? Am I missing that? That's one of those things over the years that where I saw something, possibly an anomaly that never got looked at, that really was frustrating to me, because those holes in the ice that Dan Blankenship found are really compelling. Take a look at them. I'll see if I can find a picture and put it on the Facebook page for you. Mike emailed us. He said, "You asked to hear our thoughts about Oak Island project at this point. I am leaning towards Marty's point of view when he says that he thinks there was a treasure there at some point. It seems impossible to deny that something big happened there on that little island. I didn't always think this, but my gut now tells me that they won't find a significant treasure. If it was there, I think it is likely gone now. Even so, I'll be happy to watch the project continue, and I'm still finding it fascinating. I'm glad it's not my money that's on the line, because I just have a hard time thinking there has been enough evidence of significant treasure to warrant continuing to throw millions of dollars into this. But I'm glad they are willing to keep trying, because I love the show and the topic." Mike, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I love the show. I love the topic. I'm glad they're there trying. If you were to pin me down and tell me, what my theory is, I think my theory would probably, and I don't really have one, I'm certainly not leaning towards an origin theory, but I think it would probably start with the idea that I'm leaning towards the same thing you're leaning towards, that whatever was there, whatever was done there, is not there anymore. I do not believe that Francis Bacon wrote Shakespeare and then buried the manuscripts, so it's just silly even to say it aloud, in a hole in the bottom of little Canadian island. I just, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know why he would do that. If he doesn't want anybody to find out that he wrote Shakespeare, burn the manuscripts. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand. They can't be the only records of him writing Shakespeare if he did do so, which I don't believe he did. So there's that. Could it possibly be holy relics? I don't, again, the part I always square, that I have a problem squaring away is why bring them there and hide them in a place that you can never get to? What's the point of that? Why did you not, why would we want to hide the Ark of the Covenant? What does that do? Or the Holy Grail or any of these things? Why do we want to hide them from us? Why do we want to essentially dispose of them? And if we really wanted to keep them from everybody else, I can find a really, really deep part of the ocean that would make a lot more sense to put it in than to dig it 100 feet down in an island in Canada, unless you're just depositing it there. And if so, the likelihood is you came and got it back. See where I'm going with this. Pirate treasure is, you know, the one everybody went to. But again, pirates really didn't bury their treasure. And when they did, they certainly didn't bury him with the idea of never coming back. There's this popular Founding Fathers theory of it being retrieved and a treasure put there. There's a lot of dots to connect. Maybe we'll get into that in the off season. But I do think, I agree with you, Mike, that whatever was there is not there anymore. Significant treasure is a subjective word, right? What is a significant treasure? Is getting answers to a mystery a treasure? So I don't mean just I don't mean just a figurative treasure. I mean, wouldn't you make a lot of money in book rights and television and tourism and all that kind of stuff if you found the answers to this? So I think there's more to treasure in the minds of the treasure hunters now than gold coins and jewels and the Ark of the Covenant. Hope that makes sense. Carl on Facebook writes, concerning season 7, I would have to say that it's certainly under-delivered. There was a lot of promise early in the season. A lot of discoveries were turning up, all leading to a climax of some sort. I think everyone's thought was that they would at least find something tangible, but that just didn't seem to happen. I guess that's how things go. You don't always get a bowl of cherries. Sometimes all you get is the pits, pun intended. The big loser this year seems to be Prometheus. Until this season, I have not heard many negative comments about the producers. However, this year, constant mention was made of Prometheus. There seemed to be frustration with the writing, direction, production, etc. It was quite ugly at times. I assume you're referring, Carl, to the social media. And since Prometheus does not respond, these comments were just left hanging there like festering wounds. Hopefully next year, things will become more documentary in style and less dramatic in style. Again, there's that word again, documentary. This is what not Prometheus' strong suit in my mind. It's a balancing act for them between some documentary and a lot of drama. And it's been leaning a lot more towards drama, especially in this year, but not just in this year. The problem with this year was that along with the trying to create a narrative story arc and all that kind of stuff, we didn't get the big find. We didn't get a Spanish coin. We didn't get a lead cross. We didn't get any of that kind of stuff, which has in the past kind of papered over the problems with direction, story, arc, information not being shared in a timely manner and the kind of things, silly writing and all that kind of stuff. We didn't have that this year. So I think people's focus, especially real fans of the show, turn over to, you know, these other problems, these other issues, and blame Prometheus. We as fans of Oak Island, we love these guys on the team. So when there's a problem with the show, we're going to not blame them. We're going to blame the producers. And they're probably deserving of the blame. I personally, like I've said a million times, I don't care about the writing. I've had enough of complaining about Robert Clotworthy. I do it occasionally on here just because I find some of the stuff he says hysterical. But, you know, tell the whole story, right? Give me everything that's out there. The ring that they found this year was not that. They gave us bad information. And I know I've explained this before, but I'll explain it again. The ring that Gary found, they sent pictures of it to a gemologist in Calgary who said it could be centuries old. Well, three or four of these have popped up. Exact same things have popped up on eBay. They're 20th century costume jewelry is all it really is. And that's all this one was. They're exactly the same thing. they know this. I've personally seen and heard people involved with the show who have admitted that they probably this was probably from the 30s or 40s or something like that, the 1930s or 40s. I've seen that on social media. But the show never bothered to tell us that. So here we go again. We get this sort of dramatic thing just hanging out there. And as soon as the rest of the world, the fans, start to find out the truth behind these things, well, then Prometheus gets the blame. But if you look at the guys, you know, they probably didn't know anything but what that gemologist said. And if he got it wrong because all he got was a photograph, you know, that's almost understandable. That's almost forgivable. You know, and it's certainly forgivable for the Laginas. What do they know? They're not experts on jewelry and that kind of stuff. You would think Gary Drayton might have been able to do a little bit better, but he didn't, and he got it wrong. It's the show, it's the producers, it's the directors that decided not to share the fact that they got it wrong, which in a real documentary should be shared because that information is just as important as the information that they found the thing. Make sense? Anyway, Matt writes, greetings from Havertown, PA, right outside of Philadelphia. Is it Havertown? I think it's Havertown or Havertown. I used to always say Havertown. I'm a huge fan of both the show and your podcast. I feel like you're doing a very good job of critiquing the show, but also keeping the magic and intrigue of the story alive. I have one theory that I would like to discuss about this season. Marty seemed very excited about rediscovering his toonie that he dropped in an exploratory hole 3 or 4 years ago. He emphasized that refinding the toonie demonstrates that the treasure may have shifted over the years and is going to be very difficult to find. To me, refinding the toonie proves, that there is nothing in the money pit. They have been digging there for years, and the only coin they managed to pull out of the money pit was one that they deposited themselves. If there was any other treasure down there, any gold, coins, jewelry, etc., I'm sure that something would have come up by now. The fact that they brought the toonie proves to me that of anything of value down there, they should have pulled it up. Anyway, I'm curious about your thoughts on this. Keep up the work. Matt, I'm in Jersey, so I Havertown. I used to always say Havertown. I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong, but I know your area very well. I'm in Jersey. I used to live in Pennsylvania or right outside of Pennsylvania for a long time, so good to hear from a local. Over the years in the money pit, they found human bones, pieces of parchment, you know, little shards of gold on the end of a drill bit, whole lot of coconut fiber, a lot of things that don't belong there. So clearly there's something strange. Does that point to a treasure? Is there evidence of a treasure? I go back to Laird Niven at the end of the final episode of this season where he said something to the effect of, I believe something went on here. I don't know that it has anything to do with treasure, and I don't know that the evidence points to that. And that's what I feel. I want to know what went on here. Did somebody bury something here of incredible value or of incredible intellectual value or religious value and then extract it? Who did that? How? When? Why? How do all these things that don't belong there, how do they all connect? Because let's face it, a human bone at 100 and something feet and coconut fibers don't belong. They just don't. I mean, it's just that's just the fact of the matter. So it is a mystery and one that needs to be looked into. Okay, let's go to Court on Facebook, who writes, if you wrote a summary about season 7, it would be titled More of the Same, Perhaps Less. This season just didn't deliver anything special. Certainly some interesting activities and dates, but just more of the same. That being said, bring on season 8. I think that's true for even some of the best shows out there, and even dramatic shows. But I do feel that this one was more disappointing than some of the rest. But hey, that's Oak Island. I mean, so many people have come here with incredible expectations and sure they're going to be the one to use the technology or dig in the right place and have come up empty. I mean, that's part of this process. That's, to me, the idea of looking at something and getting it wrong is what we watch Oak Island for. I mean, that's what I've been reading about, in this 200-plus year history. Like I said before, past years there were some finds. There was also the promise of some new and better techniques coming. This year, though, I have to agree, Court, it felt like they were really bringing in some incredible technology, some big stuff. They're bringing this work to bear here, and it just didn't pan out. You know, the biggest can ever dropped, the biggest this, the biggest that, a huge excavation here and digging there and all that kind of stuff. It seemed like they were really bringing in the full force of what they could do and certainly doing the most intense excavation that the island's ever seen in 225 years, and it came up empty. You know, but like I said, it's the same old story here, but it is still very hard for all of us to take. It's, imagine how they must feel. Derek emails us, do you think the whole tunnel on Oak Island could have been repurposed for burying treasure? Seems like there is evidence of a very long history of activity on the island and that someone could have used existing infrastructure to bury a treasure vault. Well, let me turn this around on you a little bit. Do you think that perhaps some work, non-treasure related, went underground here, like a clay mine or something similar, and then the remaining evidence of that work has just been misinterpreted over the centuries by treasure hunters as evidence of a treasure? Does that make sense? What you're asking me is, could somebody have done this work and then a treasure hunter have, or treasure burier or depositor have come in and used these existing works? But what I'm saying to you is, yeah, I guess there's some possibility of that, but it seems more likely to me that some clandestine mining or work of some kind has been done here on the island, and then we have just assumed that that meant there's a treasure here, but maybe there really isn't. Sobering. Back to your question. Could that work have been used decades later by someone burying something valuable? It's possible, but it would be an incredible coincidence in my mind. Don't you think that they just... somebody with a treasure was looking to get rid of it and then just happened to land on Oak Island and find this great ready-made treasure chamber? It seems a little bit of a stretch to me. Anyway, thanks for the email, Derek. Eric on Facebook, he writes, I have always thought the only way to really figure out what happened would be a large-scale archaeological dig on the Pits of Despair area. It seems the only way to get the true retelling of the story and eliminate the needle in a haystack search. I think Marty has finally got his one thing that he would justify the large dig. Besides a large pit with permanent concrete walls of some sort, it would be a great tourist attraction. Eric, you're 100% right, and I think they're dealing, you know, going towards that. I think the big dig is on its way, and I think it's going to be something that we see eventually. I don't think it's going to be this year. I'm not 100% sure that they're going to do it at all, but I was at the end of the season. The end of season 7, the big dig seemed like this was going to be what we're going to be in for the next year or two. But then watching that drilling down special, now I'm not so sure. I don't know the guys are sold on this. And that goes back to what we said before. There is evidence that something happened here, but there is not evidence in my mind that there's a treasure at the bottom of the money pit. And there doesn't seem to be evidence in the mind of Laird Niven or in Craig Tester. And I don't know for sure if there's evidence in the mind of Marty Lagina. They're sure something happened. But I don't know that they're sure that they have enough evidence to justify millions of dollars and years of work to make this kind of big dig actually come off. And as I said last time, if they do the big dig and come up empty, the whole thing is over. Over. That's it. You know, no one's searching there anymore. No one's going to buy the legend anymore. And I'm not even so sure it's going to be a tourist attraction anymore. But we'll see. I mean, I'm just extrapolating here. Anyway, another friend of the show, Jeff, he writes, the year started with high hopes, extremely aggressive efforts at the swamp, Smith's Cove, and the Money Pit, plus the pursuit of flood tunnels in the uplands, technical digs at the McGinnis and Ball homesteads, and the most understated huge expense I ever saw, the seismic mapping of the East Drumlin. It ended with a better picture of historical workings on the island, a verifiable timeline that extends back to 1200 AD, and an X in Smith's Cove, my opinion. Unfinished business in the swamp and the money pit in disarray. They always nail the sentimental moments, the rest all visits, the unveiling of Dan Blankenship's memorials. They always speak of evidence of depositors and searchers. I think they need to add a third category, others, those who would use the island for non-treasure reasons. Rick speaks of an information search. They may find gold, but they certainly brought an interesting island. I see a shift to Laird Niven's digs in the future. They teased future work in the deep end of the swamp. I'm sure there is more research in Dan's basement. Maybe they will dig down through the small paving stones and find a large flat-sided stone at the Mercy Point. Marty is going to interview ground-freezing contractors at the Money Pit area. Then they will poke a few deeper holes in the ground, chasing the chapel vault, and finally throw us a bone and pump out the cave-in pit. Next year, at this time, we'll be wishing there were more episodes, Top Pocket Finds. Hopefully, bro hugs will return, and pubs will be filled with friends and good music. To turn a phrase from Harry Chapin and Greyhound, it's got to be the going, not the getting there. That's good. Enjoy tagging along on the Laguna's adventure. Jeff, great email. I think you've got a real positive attitude towards what's to come. I like that you gave some defense there of Prometheus. They really do nail the sentimental stuff. That's what they're good at. They're good at visuals, and they're good at that sentimental stuff. And that's the part that keeps a lot of people watching. We want information. We want history. We want wonky stuff. We're fans of this treasure hunt, and we don't want so much of the dramatic or overplayed or that kind of stuff, but people do. And this kind of stuff is what they're good at. And this kind of stuff, this sentimental stuff, is the reason why they're so popular, because people are compelled by the stories of these guys that do this. And I think they would also be compelled by the stories of people who have gone before them. And so some more of that might be into it. It might be in the future for us. I think you're 100% right about what they found, what this meant. There's some great stuff here. X's through the Smith's Cove is terrific. I mean, all that stuff is great. It's just a matter of, two things. What can we do from this point forward with the pandemic as part of the equation? And, do they take that big step? Do they go there to do the big dig? It's hard to say. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to do more of your emails. Thank you for joining us on Digging Oak Island. Don't go anywhere. So like I said, we got a lot to get to here, so let's get right back into it. Giles on Facebook writes, I still enjoyed the season, but the constant jumping about in the timeline is distracting. The narrator tries to link everything to the Templars is just plain annoying. I know the ring had been explained by a team member as information on it didn't return till after filming. And this is the ring I just mentioned a few minutes ago, after the filming had finished. But surely it would have been in their interest to make some kind of mention, maybe even in the credits, that the dating was massively out. I thought they could have focused more time on Laird's investigations, too. The teaser shot seemed to have no link to anything shown or explained in the next episode. We saw something being lifted out of a pit whilst looking up from below, like Samuel Ball's tunnel. They stopped as they were running out of light, then nothing, not even a mention of work that had stopped to enable more permits to be applied for. Giles, we've mentioned a lot of that already, talked about it. I think that's, again, if you're a longtime watcher of the show, you're used to it by now. You see this quite a bit. There's always one explanation could be they didn't find anything. The other could be, they just haven't done it yet. Who knows? But you're absolutely right. But I did enjoy the season as well. The timeline jumping around thing, a lot of people get involved in that or worried about that. That's the one thing that I don't mind them doing for narrative reasons. Like I mentioned many times during the season about how there clearly was one, maybe two times that they went up to see Carmen Legge, and all they did was shoot it, pretend that it was a new scene, but they're all wearing the same outfit, so you can tell that this was all done on the same day. It was just chopped up to make it look like it was different trips up there, but that was how it made sense in the narrative of that show. They find an item, they bring it to him, rather than they find an item and then a month and a half later they bring it to him and we see it six episodes later. Oh, you remember this? No, they kind of want to explain it all as they find it, and I get that. That makes a lot of sense to me, but people do worry about the timelines and stuff, and I get all that. Thanks anyway, Giles. Jesse writes an email. I wanted to comment about another teaser that the show hinted at and I never saw. Before season 7 started, we got a teaser trailer where Marty says it's all true in a serious tone. We never got to hear him say that or never knew what he said that about. I think it's like the object lifted out of the hole that you spoke about. We were just left hanging. All in all, I really like this season's discoveries, and I look forward to another season of Curse of Oak Island. Jesse, I'm not sure I agree with you. I do think we saw that. Check me if I'm wrong, folks, but I do think we saw that. I just don't think it was anything in particular. I think it was a sort of a you know, a questioning thing, you know, where he said something like, oh, if we find what we find, then, hey, it's all true. And then they just creatively edited that into making it sound like he came to a conclusion that everything that he's read about is all true. But that's just not the case. I could be wrong about that, but I do have this faint memory of hearing that line early on in the season and thinking to myself, oh, that was just sort of misleading editing. Again, misleading editing is par to the course. It's what every show does. Even dramatic shows give you these little hints of what's to come. They're not exactly true. If you're a Star Wars fan, people just tear those trailers apart. Game of Thrones was great at this, too. People just tear those trailers and those previews apart. And then when you get there, it's very different than what you actually thought it might mean. Let's go to Claire on Facebook. She writes, I think diehard fans need more closure. I.e., I heard a recent interview with Laird Niven that the hatch had been dug by Dan Henske many years ago and that the concrete wall in Smith's Cove was part of the Hedden Pier. As viewers of the show, these items they had got so excited about at the time disappeared, never to be mentioned again. As a huge fan, it's frustrating. I understand that maybe someone who isn't such a fan wouldn't be bothered, but I think that a lot of people don't really care if it wasn't a big find. They just want to know what it was. I'd be quite happy with an end of season drilling down that just cleared up all of those loose ends on that kind of thing. And who would say no to an extra episode to tide us over to next season? I mean, I couldn't agree with that more. I think that is a great idea, Claire. I really wish they would do this. I really wish they would do it just for the integrity of the show. I spend a lot of time being a podcaster, as I'm sure a lot of people who write on the show do. We spend a lot of time worrying about this kind of thing, and it is frustrating. But I get it. They want to show the work that they did in those months on the island. Some of that stuff they find, they don't find out the test results until later on. They don't want to put that in here because maybe they're wrapped, they're done, they're into editing, it's months later. But we always get these next things, you know, we always get these drilling downs, these later things that were shot. I mean, this one was obviously shot in March, in April. From what I know, the information on the ring, for instance, was already gotten by then. So why can't that be part of what they're doing? Why don't they want to tell us that? I would think that the team, that the Laginas would really want that stuff cleared up because it makes them look bad. You know, it really does. And sure, it's not in the grand scheme of things, a few thousand people on social media, you know, who know this are not going to make that big a deal and Prometheus could care less. But as a documentary filmmaker and as a steward of this great 225-year mystery, you would think the people involved would want to be a little more straightforward with that. And I think you're right. A little drilling down episode would be terrific. It just doesn't seem like that's the way Prometheus does their business. Anyway, let's go to Kelton, Oregon, who emails. Just want to thank you for the amazing job you do on Digging Oak Island. Thank you, sir. It's my favorite listen every week. I'm really hoping the podcast doesn't take a break as the show does because my favorite episodes of your podcast are the ones that aren't necessarily covering the show's episodes. Kel, I am going to take a short break. We're going to take a few episodes off after this one is done. Took a few weeks off. And then we're going to move to exactly what you're talking about. But I need some time to research that and to get some interviews lined up and all that stuff. And I just need a break. And hopefully things will kind of get back to normal. Listenership will be back up at least to some degree. It's been down during the course of this pandemic because people aren't commuting. So, you know, the ears just aren't on the episodes. So it seems like now is as good a time as any to take that break, even just for a couple weeks to kind of get myself together. Anyway, his email continues. The in-depth histories you did on the Onslow and Truro companies, discovery of the money pit, the 90-foot stone, which I learned from you might not have been found at 90 feet. That's true. And the exploration of theories such as Francis Bacon's involvement have been full of amazing detail that the TV show just glosses over despite repeating constantly. That's my job. Your in-depth topic episodes are like a book where the show becomes helpful illustrations for all the knowledge you're dropping on us. I also appreciate your slight amount of skepticism, the reality checks on your show, and you're pointing out the inevitable tweaks to reality that have to happen to make a TV show presentable. And I knew this is what this show would be about, too. This podcast would be about, you know, because people comment on that kind of stuff the most, Kel. You're absolutely right. He continues. I agree the show does seem to have gone overboard trying to hype up the Templar gold and curse backstories. The vast possibilities of how many different groups may have been involved with the island over the centuries from what they're unearthing these days needs no hype, just more exploration. I'm also seriously impressed that you're able to do this show as a monologue. You have a great voice for radio. You're the judge of that, not me. And managed to keep it interesting with no one else there. That said, your interviews with Tony McMahon, James McQuiston were excellent. Love to hear your more interviews with Oak Island researchers and theorists in the future. And that's on the cards. I'm trying to get that stuff worked out. We have a couple of commitments, and we have some people. We're going to go back to some guys we talked to already and hopefully find some new ones. So that's what I'm trying to make this summer all about. That's why I'm taking this time off to do that. And then he writes, and I'm sure we'd all love to hear your own theories about some of the workings on the island, too. You've heard all you're ever going to hear. I don't really have theories. I don't believe I have zeroed in on any such theory. I haven't had enough evidence to lean me one towards the other. There is literally 600 years of evidence to point towards all sorts of different things. There are some things that I find less fascinating, and I've mentioned many, many times before about my problem with the Shakespeare-Bacon theory. That's just that part of it. I think the Francis Bacon theory is actually a really good one. I just don't think it has anything to do with William Shakespeare. I don't think he wrote William Shakespeare. I think Francis Bacon could have done something else here, and there's a lot of evidence pointing that way. I think the Founding Fathers one is good. Not so much big on the Knights Templar, the Spanish depositing treasure, and certainly the Knights Baronet is a great theory. I mean, there's a lot of good theories out there, so I just haven't really zeroed in on one yet that I feel like I need to, I need to get behind. Anyway, Kelt continues, just a fun tidbit. I was watching Captain America, the Winter Soldier the other day, and there's a scene where Nick Fury's car is under attack. His car's computer is speaking in a very familiar voice. Could it be? I kept expecting to hear the car to theorize he was under attack by the Templars or Freemasons. Great pull. I got to go back and watch that, Kelt. I got to hear if that's truly him. I know he's got a great resume. I didn't know he was in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I've seen that movie a couple of times. I just didn't put two and two together. Anyway, he also writes, also, your listener might be interested to know that the Templar tunnels in Accra, Israel, you've mentioned several times, can be seen in detail in a fantastic National Geographic series on Disney Plus called Lost Cities with Albert Lin. They digitally map and recreate the fortress that this still exists, the still existing tunnels connected to. The whole series is really interesting. Yes, it is. You can find it, like you said, on Disney Plus. It was an old Nat Geo show. Lost Cities, where they go through the Accra tunnels, which are some amazing, amazing work. Go back, shameless plug time, listen to some of the work I did, interview I did on the podcast with a man named Tony McMahon, who is a great Templar historian and a great conversation. I love talking to him. Tony's a great guy and a great friend of the show and has helped me out on many occasions. Okay, so let's move on to Duncan in Florida. He actually sent two emails, so let's get them both here. He writes first, I agree with your critique of the Bacon-Shakespeare hypothesis outlined on Digging Deeper. Is it Digging Deeper or was it Drilling Down? I think it was Digging Deeper. For me, the many claims espoused by Amundsen, Petter Amundsen, the man who does most of this, are tenuous at best. Two points that I would like to make regarding this whole thing are, one, surely at the time of Bacon, no one would have considered Shakespeare's manuscripts to be actual treasure or of amazing value. So why create such an elaborate hiding place? While Shakespeare's works were popular in his day, it is only the passing of time that his genius has come to be truly appreciated and held in such great esteem. Two, as to the so-called mystery of there being no manuscripts in Shakespeare's own hand, the Globe Theatre burned down in 1613. It seems plausible that many of Shakespeare's manuscripts were kept there, possibly lost in the fire. If that's not all, we should not forget that later, in 1666, there was a great fire of London destroying much of the old wooden city's houses and their content. Again, fragile parchment documents could easily be lost in such an inferno. Shakespeare's manuscripts aside, it is of historic record that Sir Francis Bacon was certainly a genius of his day. I think it's possible he did have esoteric secrets he may have wanted to hide, and why not on Oak Island? I struggle with it being about Shakespeare. Again, love your show. Very best wishes, Duncan. Like I said, Duncan wrote two. I'm going to stop here with this one first because I absolutely 100% agree. You just made my point for me there, Duncan. That's kind of how I feel. Not only that, but it took hundreds of years before anybody ever thought to accuse William Shakespeare of not writing his own material. This is not something that happened during Francis Bacon's time. It's not like Bacon wrote these things and then was like, oh, they're on to me. I got to go hide them somewhere. Nobody was on to him. Nobody thought this. No one even thought this was possible until hundreds of years later. If they thought it was possible then, maybe they would have found the manuscripts. But there are many, many reasons why there would be no manuscripts. And the thing that bugs me so much about this theory is that it's presented to us as if we know that there are manuscripts, we just can't find them. We don't know that there are manuscripts. We don't know that there ever were manuscripts. We don't know how he wrote his stuff. We don't know if he made one single manuscript and then handed it out, or did he do it piece by piece? Some authors write scene by scene as they're going. Who knows? We don't know. What we know is that it's strange that there's very little in his handwriting. But as I've said, there's a lot of reasons why that could be. And they don't. And the first and most logical reason certainly isn't because he couldn't write anything and Francis Bacon did. That seems to be real down the list in plausible reasons why we don't have any of his work. Okay, but Duncan was not done with us. Not just yet. He had another email he sent later on, a great email about his theory. He writes, having watched the show from day one and read numerous books and articles on Oak Island Mystery, like most fans, I have formulated my own theory on the subject. I'm sure my version of events is hardly original, but I'll share it here. One, Nova Scotia would have certainly been known to seafaring northern Europeans by the 1100s. The Vikings had occupied Greenland in the late 900s, and through their connection to Scotland and Ireland, it's very likely information about the coastline of Canada could have been conveyed to the Knights Templar. Two, Knights Templar had reason to abandon Europe following their persecution in 1307. It's reasonable to suggest they would seek safety as far away from their enemies as possible, somewhere remote that was known to them. Why not Nova Scotia and specifically Oak Island? Three, I do not subscribe to the story about the Templars having spirited away the Ark of the Covenant out of Jerusalem, but given their purported great wealth, it's not inconceivable they would want to hide and protect what they did have. The Templars had the knowledge and wherewithal to construct a mining operation as a permanent repository. Four, the Templars' Nova Scotia adventure was likely short-lived due to various calamities, harsh winters, hostile indigenous peoples, shipwrecks affecting supplies, all could have taken a toll on their settlement. We have seen with other early European attempts at colonization North America that colonizing North America that things often did not go well. Five, subsequent explorers to the area in the late 1600s and early 1700s may well have stumbled on the remnants of the Templar occupation and saw value in the island as a staging post as supported by the discoveries of the wooden structures in Smith's Cove. They may have even found evidence of the Templars' treasure and attempted to extract it themselves. Six, bottom line, I think it's likely the discovery of the money pit in 1795 that it was, in fact, too late. And whatever had been hidden on the island, likely Templar treasure, had already been extracted. Whatever is found now will be of historic value versus actual treasure. That's my two doubloons. Best wishes, Duncan. Duncan, I love it. And there are about four or five well thought out logical theories just like that one that make all the sense in the world to me. That's the reason why I don't have a theory myself, for lack of a better term. I just don't. And that's the reason why, because you're not the only one to formulate a really good theory on what could have happened here. Also, I would say this. It's a great example of what the word treasure can mean, right? If the Templar's treasure is no longer there, so what? If we can actually find proof that the Templars came to Oak Island for any reason, that is a history-changing event. that will have repercussions throughout the ages and be an enormous discovery in the history of Western civilization, for sure. A lot of what you say here is absolutely correct. I'm not so sure they would have had knowledge of the coast from the Vikings. I can't say that for sure. I don't know what kind of words have been passed down. I also don't know that they would have taken whatever information, however shoddy it might have been, and used it to get to take, you know, as a place to take their most valued objects. So I agree with you in the Ark of the Covenant and things like that. If they did have that, I don't know why they would have risked taking it all the way to a place that I have never heard of and have never been to. That just doesn't seem logical to me. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But you're correct. They could. It's possible that they knew where they were, what they were getting into and where they were going. They did have reason to abandon Europe. Not all of them. Some of them. We do know that there is absolutely no way the French king could have rounded them all up. There were countries that were not abiding by the rule to grab the Templars and kill them, Portugal being the best example. The Portuguese king actually harbored them and turned them into another organization called the Knights of Christ. So we do know that existed. We you know, the story is they leave France with their most important artifacts, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail, the Spear of Destiny, whatever it might be, and they go to Scotland. They find friendly people in Scotland who help them ship the stuff all out from Scotland over to the New World, which wasn't called it back then. That's the story. The problem is it's just a story. We don't have any proof of any of that. Now, there are mounting evidence coming every day of a Templar presence in North America. It's tangential to me. It's still very circumstantial. Historical experts, you know, historians and that stuff do not think that the Templars made it here. But, you know, just like Shakespeare never wrote anything down, neither did the Templars. So even if they did do it, we have almost no records from the Templars themselves whatsoever. So they would not have recorded that. So if we're looking for a book that says, hey, we went to Canada, you're not going to find one. It doesn't exist. They didn't keep records of these things. So there's a lot of things that come in here, right? And you're 100% correct. If they did try to start a colony or something over there, it could easily have gone south very fast, as did so many others of these attempts at colonization of the New World. Plus, they weren't trying to colonize. They were just trying to escape with their lives. You know, I just don't know how the story plays out. And there's enough holes in this story, you know, enough leaps of faith, enough assumptions here to make me say, that's good. That's good. That's something worth pursuing. I don't know if that's true, but it's something worth pursuing. And I think that's where we're going with it. And your story that you read there, and the reason why it's so good, the fact that it's so good is reason why the History Channel really focuses on the Templar stuff, because it is a cool story, and it is possible. There's no two ways about it. It is possible. The Templars had the knowledge to dig this. They had the knowledge and the equipment to sail across the Atlantic Ocean. They had a motive to do so, as they were being persecuted and round up and killed. So all of those things match. They all match. I just don't know if the Templar connection is where we're going to end up with here. I don't really know. I kind of go up and down with that. But a lot of really smart people really do lean towards the Templar connection, not just Robert Clotworthy. There's a lot of other people who do. Now let's end with our friend Bernie. Bernie wrote some wonderful stuff again about his daughters and how lucky he is to share the Oak Island mystery with them. And then he wrote this about his thoughts on season 7 in the future. A few years back, I had done a little research and had a theory that at one point in time there was a treasure there. But I thought it had been taken prior to the American Revolution in order to fund it. The Founding Fathers could have been tipped off by the French about a great treasure in North Atlantic because, let's be honest, the French hated the British. My theory was that the colonists took the treasure from back door in the 1760s, and once it was taken, it led to the depression in the ground that McGinnis saw in 1795. Season 6, they even mentioned this briefly. They led me to believe that theory had some credence with some of the dates that they were pulling out of Smith's Cove. At this point, I didn't believe in the quote-unquote box drains. I thought it might have been a collapsed tunnel where they brought the treasure out, misconstrued as flood tunnels. But then the dendro testing this year pushed dates back even further, so it made me question what I thought. At this point, I really have no idea, but I still believe that if there was or is or was a treasure, it will be of French origin. Season 7 to me, just like the previous 6, was perfect. It had everything I wanted out of this show. Jack got dirty, Gary got excited, Billy wore shorts. I think they found enough this year that eventually it will lead to the big dig. And I'll tell you what I tell my daughters when they ask if I want them to find the treasure. I want them to find enough evidence that they will come back for another season. That way, we have another season to share together. I hope you and your family are doing well. Stay safe, healthy, and keep up the good work. Enjoy your time off. It is well-deserved, Bernie. Thank you very much, Bernie. It's been great. There are so many people on here who have written me before. Jeff, Duncan, I believe, has written before. Bernie as well. It's great to kind of get to know you guys as Oak Island, you know, friends here. So we'll keep in touch, absolutely, during all this. And thank you so much for helping me out with this show, adding your insight. It all means so much to me, I can't tell you. I did this, started this podcast just to as a way to just sort of express my thoughts on a subject that I'm really excited about and really passionate about, and also as a way for me to learn more as we went on with this. I wanted to have an excuse, really, to continue to push myself into researching and finding out more. And one of the unintended great parts of this was to meet all of you guys and to be able to talk to all of you guys. And even if it's just on email or through here, but your thoughts and your ideas on Oak Island are all so inspiring to me. I mean, they really are. Anyway, Bernie, your theory. It's French origin, probably. I can't see how, I can see how that could be the case. I agree with you on the Founding Fathers thing. And there was a drilling down episode just this past week with William Shatner about that very theory. We will get into that theory in the off season. I didn't want to focus too much on that here because, as is typical with these things, the show itself didn't present the theory as well as I think it could be. So I'm working on some ways to get that theory presented a little bit better for us so we can understand it all a little bit more. It is a good theory. It's one of those, like the Templars, like Francis Bacon, that I think has a lot of information to it. And I agree with you. By the time this ended last year, the season ended last year, that's the theory we're all pointing to, right? Because that hit the time frame for that dendrochronology testing in Smith's Cove. But now this new piece, it goes back a few more decades to the very turn of the 1700s. Now does it, could they, certainly wouldn't have anything to do with the revolution at that point. And certainly wouldn't have anything to do with George Washington, who wasn't alive yet. Here we go. Just when you think you have an idea, a theory that you're leaning towards, boom. They come up with a date. Just when I'm not leaning towards the Templars, boom, they find a lead cross. Just when I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it just, all this kind of stuff. It's every year, they're no closer. And at the end of season 7, I think the team really encapsulated this well. And Doug Kroll said a great thing where he said something like, you know, any theorist would be happy with what we found because they found hundreds of years worth of stuff. And that every theorist can say, oh, look, and point at one particular item and say, see, that's proof, and ignore the other 30 items. You know, that's where we are here. 225 years later, we're all convinced, and I am too, that something undocumented and major happened on Oak Island. It could have happened as early as the 1100s and as late as the 1760s. And that's all we know. After 225 years of hunting, that's all we know. So thank you guys so much again for sending in your emails. It was really a pleasure to do this and read what you guys have to say. If you want to email me any more questions or comments for a future show or just to discuss Oak Island, you certainly can do so. I can be found at diggingoakisland@gmail.com. Like I said, I'm going to take a short break, a couple of weeks, try to put some shows together and find some new interesting topics to talk about. If you have any ideas, certainly please feel free to send them on to me where we can go. But so stay subscribed to this show in your feeds. We will be back soon and we will be talking about Oak Island again, and we'll spend a lot of the summer doing that. Don't forget, you can help out the show by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much also to everyone who's done that already. Thank you for the kind words and for taking the time to do that. I really do appreciate it. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Both are at Diggin' Oak Island. So until we speak again, I'm Dave McBride. Thank you for listening to Diggin' Oak Island.